Blog Talk Radio.
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show. Real talk.
Rick the Roller has returned.
Stop.
Lying.
The Roller.
Let me be your ruler. You can call me
Queen. We aren't caught up in your love affair.
Let me be your
Mister, I like that.
I've never seen a diamond in flame.
I like that.
I cut my teeth on wedding rings in the movies, and I'm not proud of my dress. In a torn up town, no postcode envy. But every time I go, teeth break, I'm dripping in the bathroom. Same ball gown, trapped in the hotel room. We don't care. We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams, but everybody's like Crystal Maybach. Diamonds on your timepiece, Jeffrey's Island, tigers on a gold leash. We don't care. We aren't caught up in your love.
Queen bee, and baby, I'll rule.
hip-hop informer. What's going on, everybody? 906 on the East Coast, 606 on the West Coast. Up close and personal with Michael J. Muhammad tonight. Mr. Muhammad is running for mayor of the city of Norfolk, Virginia. And if that was to happen, he would actually make history as the first African-American to be named mayor in the city's history. I am a former resident of the city of Norfolk. My heart is in Virginia, and so I'm excited about this conversation tonight. Most of the folks on this show have some type of footprint that exists in Virginia, specifically the Hampton Roads area, and so this hits home for us tonight. It is Monday, March 24th. 2014. And tonight, again, we're up close and personal with Minister Michael J. Muhammad. The minister is running for mayor in the city of Norfolk, Virginia. The city has recently experienced several senseless murders, and citizens are concerned. Mr. Muhammad is an advocate who recently had, a one-on-one conversation with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We're going to get up close and personal and hopefully low down. Tonight we want to hear from you, 917-889-3926, 917-889-3926, again, live from Tampa, but without further ado, hot chocolate, hey, thank you for the love you showed me yesterday, coming live from Plant City. Hey, welcome to the show, Mama.
Happy Monday, everyone, and yes,
what
it was a great weekend spent celebrating birthdays of my good friends, including the general. Yes, we did have a good time at dinner.
No doubt. What's good? How's the Monday? Off to a good start, I hope.
Yes, yes, off to a pleasant, I guess, as Mondays go. Everyone says that they dread Monday coming around and don't look forward to it. But trust me, people, if you didn't see Monday, it would be a problem. So, yes.
Right.
It was a good Monday. Good weekend as well.
Yeah. Hey, some Cinderella stories over the weekend. Those brackets got tore to pieces. Shambles.
Busted.
Hey, Mercer over Duke. Who would have thunk it?
And who would have thunk that the cute little white boy could do the Nene like he could? Like, that is, besides the Cinderella story and the bracket-busting game, you know, that it was with Duke and Mercer, this kid doing this dance has been, like, sweeping
the
internet nation. Yes, he killed it. Killed
viral.
It. That's one dance you'll probably never see me doing, but, yes, he did it very well.
Dayton over Syracuse. Who would have thunk it?
Wow. Yeah. I didn't. My bracket was gone right after Duke and Mercer, so it didn't matter.
Hey, from Sweet 16 to the Final Four. I mean, definitely, again, some awesome Cinderella stories. See, I love to see the underdog rise up.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And it'll teach me next year. Go for the underdog in the brackets, Regina. See what happens.
Hey, no. Hey, listen, I love those underdog stories. Hey, jump on it. Again, special guest up close and personal tonight, Minister Michael Muhammad. Hey, 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. We want to hear from you. Hey, welcome home, little Bootsy. Hey, we'll be right.
I'm
white.
Mr. White, down here. I've been Fox a million. This would be the I pull up at the club, VIP, gas tank on E, but all drinks on me.
Wipe it out.
Fresh kicks, fresh white, tall teeth, fresh NFL hat, fresh bowls with the grease.
Wipe it out.
Wanna hit me with the heat, real, recognize, real, don't speak.
Wipe it out.
Chicken laden, I've been rolling about a week. You can tell I got cake by the diamonds in my teeth.
Wipe it out.
Don't wipe me down, at least put some shoulders on. A night on my town, sheesh, you should know the cost. Please, we have to deal with pulling roses on. 300 G's for the V's just to blow exhaust. 200 G's on my sleeve cause I'm showing off. No clouds in the stones, the EVs all going off. Ladies on the scene, tell her drive us spin around. Hit the block, tell her fiends, wipe the rims down. Hit the turf, tell her team, time to hit the town. Hit the club, tell her waiter, order me some bottles. Left the club with a shorty for the Maserati. From the club to the telly, shorty, that's the model. The high got a army, the ride got a horny. Now the ride's like a... She's doing freaky things while the engine go boom. Tell her we don't need a room. No, she could go while I look up at the moon.
Cause I'm on white man, 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 cause I'm
car, dash, rims, wheels. Car, dash, rims, wheels. Car, dash, rims, wheels. Car, dash, rims, wheels.
White man out.
White man out.
Red bone caramels all along. Stop and stare all along. Trying to steal my underwear.
White man out.
I like a song like Rick Ross. Got a hiccup, set it off. When I sing it, everybody set it off.
White man out.
Black meat, damn on. Play with me, I bust a dome. Ace rip, on chrome. You can go.
White man out.
Party like a rock star. Totally dude, the best wanna watch is totally rude. I beg your pardon, but the bench is so huge. I mean, it made busy. We close the curtains like it's Moulin Rouge. Yeah, I do the honors. I strip your Prada, Dolce & Gabbana. Make it rain and call it a baby shower. Now wipe me down, cause I'm on. And yeah, I ring bells like that kid named Sean now. Yeah, I had to laugh. 2 million ringtones, had another half. Y'all boys going through the math. Now that's what the fuck I call bringing crack back.
Cause I'm on white man, 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 cause I'm on
hot drop, drop, top, top, drop, drop it like it's hot, yeah.
White man out.
You see this ice on my wrist, how it glints soon as the lights hit. You can't lie to ice.
White man out.
Purple got me smelling funky, red monkey, $500 on them, you ain't seen these yet.
White man out.
Beatin', you can hear me way around the corner, paint wet, with the 24 on it, that's a bet.
Been
nice with the pen, four pipes on the M. When y'all little dudes see me before you smile and grin, you know it ain't a game, I told you it ain't a game. LV on the buckle, YSL on the frame.
White man out.
This is real talk, stainless steel. I'ma put the work in, but when I pass it off, trying to cuff her, I just need a couple minutes. Red Bull and Guinness, do my thing, let her.
White man out.
Then I'm finished, kiss is a menace. Nah, you ain't seen these airs if I'm in them, polo shirt, all denim. Sickles on my neck and hand. Better check your man. Woo. It's brand new, so I doubt if this a jam. Don't even ask who the best is. Yes, I am. I'm a winner. Therefore, I can't lose. Shoulders in the chest first, then the pants.
White
shoulders,
chest, pants, shoes.
Real talk, real people, real time. We are back, TM Hyman Radio. It is 9:14 p.m., and I am here on Money Monday with the General himself, TM Hyman, still celebrating his birthday all month. I had to remind him of that, people, but we'll talk about that later on. Our guest tonight is Minister Michael J. Muhammad, who is actually a mayoral candidate for the city of Norfolk, Virginia, and I am very interested to get up close and personal with him this evening as a former resident of Norfolk, Virginia myself, and a possible, candidate again, maybe, possibly. I'm thinking about moving back, and I'd like to know what, if elected, Mr. Muhammad would be able to do for me as a resident of Norfolk. So let's get up close and personal tonight with Minister Michael Muhammad.
Absolutely. Welcome to the show, Minister. Thank you for taking time to stop past.
Good evening. Thank you all for having me. I'm more than delighted and honored to be here on your show tonight. We are working diligently. I just left my campaign headquarters where we put in about 13 hours or so today, and, of course, we are not finished. So as soon as I'm done with this program, I have to move on to some scheduling for the balance of this month, moving into our final month of campaigning, which is April, in preparation for the May 6th election. So I am grateful to be here and have this opportunity.
Absolutely. May 6th is right around the corner. And before we get into some specific probing questions, Minister Muhammad, why don't you introduce yourself officially? Let people know, you know, what school you attended, the things that you've been involved in. You didn't just, you know, yesterday decide, you know, to run this race. You've been doing some things from the heart, you know, that had not been noticed for years before you started to surface. And so introduce yourself to the world and let people know who you are. People are listening as far as Baghdad.
Very good. Again, my name is Michael Muhammad. I'm here in the Norfolk, Virginia area, city of my birth. I've had the privilege and the honor of traveling extensively throughout America and in parts of the world, and I can honestly say that Norfolk is not only home, but it is the city of my love. I have been engaged in public service since the age of 14, and over that 22 years since that time, I have had the opportunity to serve in many capacities in the public square. But this is my first attempt at public office. I was born and raised here in the city, and I became involved because of what I saw of blight, crime, and so forth in my community and the communities that surrounded my community. I, at a young age, became a part of the Nation of Islam under Minister Louis Farrakhan, who is, in fact, my spiritual leader, teacher, and father. And from that perspective, I have had the opportunity to go to very various places throughout the world, serving him for a period of time as his national youth representative. But here at this time in Norfolk, Virginia, there's a tremendous void in leadership as the old guard continues along a path that we see to be destructive and non-productive, in that they're making their complete investment in brick-and-mortar projects while human development is lacking. And so, as a result, the streets are becoming increasingly violent while the buildings are becoming increasingly beautiful, and the two don't mix. So I saw it necessary to get involved and to challenge the seat of power that makes the decisions that ill affect our city life. Norfolk is a geographically important city in that it is surrounded by water. It is a military town in that it hosts the largest naval military installation in the world, the Norfolk Naval Station. This area is very interesting in that the population is said to be 45% African American and 47% Caucasian, though we differ with those numbers because the school system is about 68% African American. And so in looking at the geographical situation of this city and the makeup of this city, we thought that this was a very opportune time for us to make our pitch for the highest elected office in municipal government for the service of the people. And so there we have it. I am indeed a candidate for mayor of the city of Norfolk.
Minister, the current mayor of the city of Norfolk, Paul Fram, who I've met several times. I've done work in the city of Norfolk prior to transitioning to Florida, specifically, you know, working with young people. The mayor has been a staple in Hampton Roads going back as far as 1986, when he was first elected to council. The laws changed a little bit, where he was once appointed mayor by the council in 1994, but it became a wide election in 2010, where he had to be voted and not appointed. He was reelected by popular vote in 2010. His legacy is strong. He's 64, you're 36. What does a young buck like yourself, from many people's perspectives, I'm sure, based on his experience with government, what could you bring to the table that contrasts from what the current mayor, Paul Fram, brings to the table?
Well, dear brother, it sounded like you just laid out the case for me and not against me. He's been Mr. Paul Fram has been the mayor now for 28 years, mayor for 20 years. Those years he served as appointed mayor, appointed by the council, and in 2006 he was first elected as the direct elected mayor. 2010 he ran and was reelected, and again here we are in 2012. The interesting dynamic is that in 2006, having to run for the first time for a citywide office, Mr. Frame made a lot of promises. In 2004, he made even more promises. But now, 8 years later, we have seen that those promises have not been fulfilled. And so we now have a track record of an elected mayor that we can point to and show that his representation was not to that of an entire city, but to a selected few elite supporters who have financially backed him. And so from that perspective, we believe that it is the opportunity of the populace of the city to take this goal, this opportunity to vote him out and to vote new, fresh ideas in. I do not make light of the difficulty in challenging such an entrenched incumbent. I do not make light of challenging someone who has such financial backing and political backing as he does, but we believe that the people are tired. We believe that the people are fed up. We believe that the people are ready for change, and so we, for that opportunity to have a choice in the matter while others set back and in fear and intimidation and decided not to put their hats in the ring. So we're happy to be a part of this contest.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you've just joined the show, if you've just joined us, the voice that you just heard is the voice of Minister Michael J. Muhammad. He is running against a mayor that's been in office for quite some time in the city of Norfolk. If you have questions and you want to get in on this conversation, make it happen. 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. The minister's hanging out with us this and the next hour, and we're about to turn up with the conversation. Standing by, Steve James. When we come back, we'll keep it moving. You in tune to Team Muhammad Radio Live.
Team Muhammad Live. Real talk.
917-889-3926. Jump on it. We're up close and personal tonight with Minister Michael J. Muhammad. But before we go any further, without further ado, welcome that dude all the way live from the DMV, stumbling in the studio, St. James. Welcome to the show.
Stumbling, you got to put me out there like that? What's happening
stumbling
with you,
in the
man?
Studio. Hey, what's good? Special guest tonight, again, the minister. Trying to take the highest office in the city, North Virginia, Minister Michael J. Muhammad. Now, for those who may not know, Norfolk is an independent city in the Commonwealth of Virginia. The census 2010 actually reported the population being 242,803. In 2013, it had increased slightly to 392, making it the second most populous city in Virginia behind its neighboring city, Virginia Beach. Our special guest tonight wants to be the chief executive officer in the city. We're going to keep this conversation going. You want to be a part, 917-889-3926. Again, thanks for stopping past, hanging out with us tonight, Minister Muhammad. We appreciate your time, sir.
Yes, sir. I wanted to correct something. I am not running to be the chief executive officer of the city. I'm running for the office of mayor. The chief executive
of Norfolk. Help me.
Well, the chief executive of Norfolk, Virginia, is the city manager, Mr. Marcus Jones. Norfolk.
The city manager is over the mayor. Wow, didn't know that.
Right. The city Norfolk has a city manager form of government. In the state of Virginia, there's only one city that has what is known as a strong mayor form of government, and that is Richmond, Virginia. And don't feel bad that you did not know that, because most of the citizens don't know that. And the reason they don't know that is because of the inordinate influence and power the mayor, current mayor, has exhibited. And that is one of the problems that is causing me to seek this office at that time, to bring proper perspective and proper guidance to what should be done from that office's seat. And so to thwart the power of the city manager really is against Norfolk's charter. And the fact that you did not know that is only evidence to what has been done in this city for so long, and we seek to change that.
Well, I appreciate that information because, again, I have deep roots there. I graduated from Maury High School, and I like to think I know a lot about the city, but clearly I don't know as much as I think. So thanks for that factoid.
Oh, no problem, no problem. That's one of the things that we have to do as we life and all of the vicissitudes therein don't always allot for us to be as engaged as we would like to be. And so it's always good to put things in the proper place in the proper perspective. Are you there?
Again, thank you very much,
yes,
sir. Absolutely. I want to let the rest of the team get in on the conversation.
Minister Muhammad, this is Regina here, and I did have a question. My question is with regards to a 2010 article in the Virginian Pilot that gave information regarding some work that you'd actually done for Mayor Paul Frame, and I'm trying to correlate and understand better how you got to the point of supporting and working for him to running against him now at this point.
Very good question. Very good question. In 2010,
actually, it's dated back to
we can't hear you, Minister. Something's
okay.
You're going out on us. Okay, there you go. We can hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay,
yes.
Very good. In early 2000, during the death of a black motorists in police custody, I developed a relationship with the city that was less than communicable. We had a very contentious relationship because, of course, I stood up for the issues that were pertinent to our people, and it was not seen as the popular thing to do in Norfolk. And I have taken that posture for quite some time. In 2009, there were quite a few business leaders and persons in the African-American community who came to me and wanted me to be a part of a coalition of people working towards several goals, and one of which was economic development from the African-American perspective. At that time, there was no candidate that was announced or slated to challenge then Mayor Paul, or the current Mayor Paul Frame, for that office. Then there came a time where there was conversation that Ms. Dawn Hester, at that time, who was a council member, may challenge him. And so I reached out to Dawn Hester at that time, and she told me she had not made up her mind. I reached out to her again. She told me she was not sure whether she would run. I reached out to her a third time and told her that I had been contacted by Mayor Frame and he wanted to meet with me. And she told me that I should take the meeting and not consider what she was doing because she was not sure. Well, during the course of that meeting, Mayor Frame and I came to a gentleman's agreement to agree to disagree. But before we would be publicly disagreeable, we would communicate with each other and voice our concerns. Well, my concerns were two primary concerns that I had taken to Mayor Frame were economic development from the African-American community perspective, not just from the perspective of what they call minority participation, because that covers a broad spectrum. But we wanted to see economic development from the African-American perspective. So there was a deal on the table at that time, which was the development of the Midtown office tower by a company, a now defunct company called Tyvest. So I went to the mayor and pushed this project on behalf of that group and several others who were backing that project, primarily because it would have been at that time the largest African-American development in the city of Norfolk's history. And so in the course of that, with Mayor Frame not having any challenges at that time, it was seen by myself and my advisors as more strategic in terms of having access to the seat of power to serve the community that I represented if we partnered. So my company, Mayor Frame hired my company to handle some outreach efforts for him during his campaign. That was not to be seen in any way as Michael Muhammad, meaning Michael Muhammad, so much being out front for Paul Frame, but my company handled some projects for him. And so when it got heated in the contest, the Virginian Pilot, being the rag that it is not a credible paper in my opinion. It definitely teeters on the line of a gossip column. But they wrote an article, and they featured me in the article, not having done any feature on any of the candidates for mayor or council, but they featured me on the front page of their paper, and the article that you reference is that article. It was indeed an attempt to assassinate and attack my character, as is the policy and practice of the Virginian Pilot when it comes to black leadership. But to answer the balance of your question, now what brings me to the point of challenging Paul Frame for that seat. Again, as I said in the earlier part of this conversation, Mayor Frame made promises in 2006. He made promises in 2010. And the promises that he made in 6 and 10 have yet to be fulfilled. We have zero economic development projects underway from the perspective of African Americans. Another part of that discussion with him was to establish a non-punitive mayor's task force on youth and gang violence prevention in the city of Norfolk. 4 years later, we have no effort in that direction, and the homicides are on the increase. And because he did not keep his word, I see it fit to challenge him at the very seat of power. I hope that answered your question.
It did. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. It was a very good question, and it was a necessary question and an appropriate question.
I found it kind of a white elephant in the room because Paul Frame would be who you're running against. So it's something that obviously had to be addressed because it's going to be brought back up in the mainstream at one point or another. So I felt like it needed to be addressed here.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, I was going to move on to ask about questions surrounding the budget. I know that there is a 2014 budget draft that's been proposed. I'm not sure if that budget has been approved or not, you know, for the city 2014. I don't know how that works. But looking at the budget draft, you know, there were things dealing with the 2% salary increase for city employees effective January 2014. There was a strategy to fully fund Norfolk Public Schools, who, you know, I'm sure has been underfunded, you know, for quite a few years now. When it comes to things like the police department, and, you know, when I think of police right now, you know, Norfolk has one of the better police systems, you know, but when you have a crime rate with an index of 136% higher than, you know, the Virginia average, you know, what are your plans from a leadership perspective? One, the mayor has been there a long time. He has a footprint that is going to exist probably if he was to leave today. I'm thinking his shadow would still lurk. What's your plan if elected mayor? How do you, you know, maneuver through the shadow, the overcast of that shadow, and how do you work to make a difference within the Norfolk Police Department, within Norfolk Public Schools, and within the government as its mayor?
Very, very good question again. Let's start at the beginning of the question. As you went through the budget, I'm very impressed and grateful that you took the time to research prior to this call. The interesting thing is that if you look at when the budget is voted on, it's after the election. And so it's interesting that many of the line items that are in the budget that are being wrangled over appear to be favorable to the employees, to the school system and that, but none of those things are written in stone because, again, the budget will be voted on to the election.
After the election.
So a lot of that is what you call campaign promises. So we understand the politics and the practice they're in. And you're talking about fully funding a school system. The question is, should it be fully funded? And what I mean by that, of course, we say, yes, it's fully funded in the condition that it's in. This school system needs a complete overhaul, starting with an elected school board, having an appointed school board that is appointed by city council that has historically been appointed based on political favors. I give you an example. If you, in your research, take the time to look at some of Paul Frame's campaign contributors, one of his campaign contributors is a gentleman by the name of Jim Squires, or Mr. James Squires. Notably, Mr. James Squires is the president of Norfolk Southern, which is a Fortune 500 company based here in Norfolk, Virginia. He's slated to be the next
Southern.
He's slated to be the next CEO of Norfolk Southern. Interestingly enough, his wife, Miss Karen Jones Squires, was a school board member. She's a former school board member who was appointed in June of 2009. And this is interesting to me, and I'm making a point here when we're dealing with the school system and the fully funding and the fact that it needs to be completely overhauled. In 2009, Miss Karen Jones Squires was appointed to the Norfolk School Board. Well, just a few months later, in February of 2010, her husband, Mr. James Squires, made his first political contribution to Paul Frame of $2,500. Now, I see that as interesting. You may just say coincidence. You may just say, you know, different circles. I don't know. But this is the track record of the appointments to boards and commissions in Norfolk, and particularly the school board. So when you see these people being appointed on the basis of political expedience or political favors, we have to raise the question, do they really serve the better interests of our children and their education? And if you look at the condition of Norfolk having 30-plus schools unaccredited, you would have to say no. And so from that perspective, we need a complete overhaul of the school system, not just a fully funded budget, because you're giving them more money to further miseducate the children. Our children are in a very bad condition. You're talking about fully funded schools when we have a $130 million courthouse that is being finished downtown Norfolk, but the only high school that African Americans could go to up until the mid-70s, Booker T. Washington High School, is infested with rats and rodents. So there is a misplacement of priorities here. There's a
greater priority
on the courthouse than there is on the schoolhouse. And when there's a greater priority on the courthouse than the schoolhouse, that's a misplacement of priorities. When it comes to the department, I'm fully prepared.
Well, Minister, let's do this. Let's pause. Let's pause. Come right back. Because as you talk about the police department, I want to go into some of the situations that has involved the police with some of the murders that's taken place recently. Ladies and gentlemen, we are up close and personal tonight with Minister Michael J. Muhammad. Coming up, we got Finance live out of Delaware as well as we keep this conversation going. We'll be right back. It's 9:47.
Hey, yo, what up? This is your boy, Mac Wiles. Check this out. This is my song, Own It.
I do. I'm young right now, but I won't be forever. So I'ma live it up like that's true. You might wanna roll with me too, but I don't mean to brag. But I live a life that most can only dream about. Yeah. So baby, come be my dream girl. Pick up fantasy and let me work out. Yeah. Oh yeah. Tell me where you wanna go, what you wanna do. Say we living it like we own it, own it, own it. To the most top of the world, what I need is you. Say we living it like we own it, own it, own it, yeah. Never too much, so just let the drink flow. Later on you can come through, through. Come through, you know you're the flyest. They should call you your highness. And call me king, cause I'm that dude. All you gotta do is leave your crew. That I don't mean to brag, but I live a life that most can only dream about. Yeah. So baby, come be my dream girl. Pick up fantasy and let me work out. Yeah. Oh yeah. Tell me where you wanna go, what you wanna do. To be living it like we own it, own it, own it. To the most top of the world, what I need is you. To be living it like we own it, own it, own it, yeah. We're living it like we own it.
out here in DMV. It's about 8:52 out in Chicago where my Bulls was playing tonight. 917-889-3926 is number to dial. It's the team, the fam, the crew. TM Hyman Radio. The boy, Save James. We have the General TM Hyman, Hot Chocolate. And the Honorable Minister, Michael J. Muhammad, who's running for that office of Mayor of Norfolk City. Big ups to you on that accomplishment. But right now, we're about to have live financial advice on your Money Monday straight from Delaware with Miss Toya. How are you, Ma?
Thank you, Save. This evening, I just wanted to touch on tax tips that help save you money. Right now, the tax season is winding down. We only have a few weeks before you will be late with filing your taxes. So just to give you some helpful tips for the remainder of this year that may help you out when filing for 2014. First, determine if you're not getting enough money taken out of your check and request that more money be deducted each pay to help keep you from having to owe when filing taxes. I know a lot of people, when they file their taxes, they find that they, although they may have a refund on the federal side, on the state side, a lot of people end up owing. And unfortunately, it's because there are two different types of scales that they use when taking taxes out of your check. So just remember to make sure you check your exemptions, and if you need to add additional money to be taken out, whether it be $2, $5, $7 each pay, you can arrange to do so with your human resources. That way you don't have to worry about owing a lump sum of money when you do file your taxes. Secondly, do not play with your number of exemption claims. I know that there are some people that will claim as many as 9 deductions on their W-4s a few times a year, and before they know it, they end up owing a large sum of money each year. So only claim for yourself and your dependents. Anything extra can cost you big bucks in the long run. Some people look at it as if they're saving a few dollars, they're getting more money in their pocket now, but it will cost you later on down the line. Next, do not overpay your taxes each year, hoping to receive a large tax return during tax season. You're simply just allowing the government to use your money interest-free, and you get nothing in exchange. Instead, you would want to adjust your number of deductions and have that extra money deposited into an interest-bearing money market account. So just remember, you can make changes to your W-4 at any time. If you're one of those people who claim 0 exemptions or 1 with hopes that you'll get a really large return in the tax season, you don't want to do that. You should really be breaking even, not owing or getting a large sum of money back, unless you actually own a business and you're writing off business expenses, which is a whole other story. And lastly, take advantage of pre-tax deductions. Participate in programs such as FSAs, which are flexible spending accounts. If you know that you spend a certain amount of money, or you have a general idea of how much money you spend each year on healthcare expenses and also on daycare expenses or childcare expenses, you can actually put that money away in a flex spending account, and that's taken out of your tax out of your check prior to your tax deductions, which will save you money in the long run. So just make sure you take a look at that as well. Fortunately, with that, it's probably too late to do so. Most companies ask that that's done before the beginning of the new year. So just remember that when it's time for you to sign up for flex spending accounts and make changes to your payroll and things of that sort at the end of this year. So, again, those are just a few tips that may help you save money when tax season rolls around. But the biggest thing to pay attention to is your exemption claims. I think that would be the most important. So that's all I have for you this evening.
No doubt. We got Toya coming to us live out of Delaware with our Money Monday finance tip. If we are hanging out. 956 where I am. We're hanging out up close and personal with Minister Michael J. Muhammad tonight. We got Hot Chocolate live from Plant City. That was Toya live from Delaware. Dave James coming to us live from the DMV. And the Minister Michael J. Muhammad coming to us live from Norfolk, VA tonight. Thanks, everybody, for being part of the show. And if you want to become a part of the conversation, has questions, or if you have questions or just want to comment, 917-889-3926 is the number you can dial. Before the break, the minister was about to go in on the police department to talk about his approach. I'm not sure if those in Norfolk even know, but the crime rate in Norfolk is like less than 1% of the cities in Virginia. What does that really mean? The chance of being a victim of a crime in Norfolk is like 1 in 18. The chance of being a victim of a violent crime in Norfolk is like 1 in 173. A property crime is like 1 in 21. So Minister, picking back up with the police department, there are 879 officers that would be reporting to you if you were elected mayor. What's your plan for the police department in the city of Norfolk?
I hate to do this again, but I have to correct
the chief of police. The chief of police they will be reporting to. But don't you have some kind? Wouldn't you have some kind of influence over the chief of police and the police department?
And there again, that's the correction that I had to make. In a city manager form of government, all municipal employees report to the city manager.
Even the police department. Get out of here.
That is correct. The structure of the city is as such. You have the city council, which is comprised now of 7 council members or 8 council members to include the mayor. That is broken down into the mayor, 2 super wards, and 5 councilmatic wards. And then you have 3 appointments that are made by the city council. 3 hires or appointments that are made by council that work autonomously of one another and answer directly to the city council, and that they are the city attorney, the clerk of the city clerk, and the city manager. The city manager has all municipal employees under his leadership, with the exception of those who work for the constitutional offices of sheriff, commissioner of the revenue, treasurer, clerk of the court, and sheriff, commissioner of the revenue, clerk of the court, treasurer, and commonwealth's attorney. Those are the other offices that are elected, which are called constitutional offices. But when it comes to municipal employees, of which the police department are, they answer directly to, as you said, the police chief, who answers directly to the city manager. The city council has no authority over the police chief or the fire chief. They have a collective authority over the city manager. And that is the way municipal government in Virginia, with the exception of Richmond, Virginia, works.
I am totally blown by, again, that revelation. You just provide that clarification, but I had no idea. You did say government, local government, so every aspect. Wasn't there a former city manager by the name of, was it Regina Smith?
Regina Williams.
Regina Williams, was she the first African-American city manager?
I do believe so. And I apologize. I cannot answer that in the affirmative, but I do believe you are correct on that.
I remember a period in which Ms. Williams, I knew she was high-powered, but I really didn't know that her capacity was – as such as the chief executive officer of the city. Now, Hester, you mentioned, who I'm very familiar with. Ms. Hester had a very effective career in Norfolk public school systems, becoming, I believe, the first African-American city councilwoman. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Why do you think, and this is only speculation, why didn't Ms. Hester, and I'm just going to write it off as politics, why didn't Dawn Hester run for mayor, who I thought was well-positioned for that capacity maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago?
Well, the major reason, I believe that the voting citizenry did not choose Ms. Hester was because her platform didn't resonate with the voters. I'll just be frank and honest with you. For 16 years, she served on council alongside Paul Frame, voting with Paul Frame more times than not. And so the voters could not determine the difference between the two. In truth, that's my opinion. But also, maybe her outreach efforts were not significant enough. The Virginian Pilot, on the day after the election, pointed out that Ms. Hester did not address the issue of race at all in her campaign. And anyone who knows anything of Norfolk, Virginia knows, just as is the case with many cities in America, race is a major factor. And so when people don't see themselves in the picture, so to speak, they have less interest in viewing it. And I don't know that Ms. Hester was successful in allowing or causing her picture to resonate the voting citizenry.
Without focusing on the race card too much,
I don't like
what is your plan if elected to deal with the issue of race, and how is your plan going to supersede any other attempt to resolve the race relation issues in the city of Norfolk, as there are race relation issues still all across America?
Well, I want to answer that question, but I do want to have an opportunity to go back to the question that you asked about the police department. But let me answer the question that is on the table now. In dealing with that, first of all, I am not a politician. I have no desire to be lifelong in elected politics. Paul Frame, as you mentioned at the inside of this program, is 64 years old. He's been on council for 28 years, mayor for 20 years. That's half of his life almost. I don't want to do that. I want to give my service to the public similar to what someone would do in enlisting in the military. They may do 4 years, 8 years, 12 years, whatever period of time they do, but then they retire and they move on with their life. So because I am not one who seeks a career in elected politics, I don't have to walk the fine line, though I have to walk the line of representation of the whole. I don't have to mealy-mouth around issues such as race. And when I am elected, it is my intention to deal with many of the issues that have been hidden in the back room for so long in a very open and honest manner, in a very open manner, because people need to be able to divest themselves of what is built up in their hearts. In 2006, I want to say it was, I mean, I'm sorry, 1996, I want to say it was, the then President of the United States, William Jefferson Clinton, made a historic move in introducing the conversation on race, where he held town hall meetings all over America dealing with the issue of race. And just the mere opportunity to discuss such an issue and divest yourself of all that you have held bound up in you has medicinal properties to it. And so the people have bound up in them so much frustration and anger on all sides of the conversation, that a honest, open, and frank discussion addressing the issue from the courts to contracts to education to the police department to all the way down to waterworks, who roads gets fixed first, whose community have potholes the longest, all of the issues that are there, I think having a frank and open discussion in that area will allot and allow for us as a city to begin to heal and move forward.
Well, Minister Farrakhan, Muhammad, I have a question. How do you rightfully address these issues if you're not a politician? I mean,
well, just because you're in a political spectrum does not make you a politician. A politician is one who takes a career in that area, and which is different from someone who gives service. You see, some people desire to be lifelong politicians and see one seat as a stepping stone to another seat, and that's just not what I want to do. I want to offer my service to the city of Norfolk, to the citizenry of Norfolk, for a period of time, and at the expiration of that period of time, I want to move on to do other things in life. And so I think that I can rightfully address those issues because I have a mind and a history of bringing people together for the purpose of discussion and for the purpose of solution. And so from that perspective, I want to lean heavily on the spiritual community, the educational community, in the various communities, frat and sororities, the Pan-Atlantic community, the various communities that are assembled here to help to bring about a discussion that would be meaningful and fruitful on all things involving race in the city of Norfolk.
Okay, I've been sitting here.
Go ahead, Steve, go ahead.
I've been sitting here quiet, listening and learning, because I had no idea, T.M. Hahn was saying, that the structure of the city was set up in that manner. Because the question I was going to ask you, Minister, it was, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't the mayoral position have to have some kind of financial background?
No.
And, not in this case.
No. Again, the mayor, I hate to say it like this because then you say, well, what do you want it for? But the mayor's position in Norfolk and in every city and county in the state of Virginia, with the exception of Richmond, Virginia, which is the only city that the General Assembly allowed to have what is known as a strong mayor, which would mean that mayor, as in the case of Richmond, Reverend Dwight Jones, is the CEO of that city. He is the administrator, the first person to hold that position when that became law in Richmond was the Honorable Douglas L. Wilder, our former governor, the first African-American governor since Reconstruction. So in Norfolk, as is in Portsmouth, as is in Virginia Beach, as is in Hampton, Newport News, Chesapeake, Isles of Wight, Gloucester, the mayors of those cities and towns is, for lack of a better term, a glorified ribbon cutter. And that's just a fact. But the fact of the matter is that sitting as president of council, or what would amount in a corporate structure to the CEO, that mayor has the ability to set the agenda for the council. Now, with that being said, though the mayor does not have all of the power of a city with a strong mayor, such as a New York or a Detroit or a Washington, D.C., or Los Angeles or Miami, even though the mayor does not have that power, the power that a mayor does have in Norfolk is, again, setting the agenda for council. And when you set the agenda for council, you can address all of the issues that are important to your constituency. And because Mayor Frame's constituency has been comprised of the wealthy and elite of the city of the west side of the city of Norfolk, he has represented their interests. But I'm seeking the position to represent the interests of the people. I'll give you an example. We in our communities, and I heard those crime statistics, Terrence, and it's really unfair the way that those numbers are cooked, because they give the appearance that this city is safe. And I'm telling you that when you have in the third month of the year over 63 persons have been shot in the city of Norfolk, that is not a factual picture, you see. And when the trauma center at Sentara Hospital says that it takes at least $100,000 to treat a gunshot victim, then we're looking at, with over 63 people being shot, over $6.3 million being expended unnecessarily.
Wow. Wow.
To treat gunshot victims. Multiple of those gunshot victims died. Remember, on January 1st, in the a.m. hours of January 1st, we had two homicides. By January 3rd, we were at three homicides. Yesterday morning, Sunday morning, an 18-year-old young woman was shot in the head at a house party. Just the day before that, on Friday night, two children, 9 years old and 15 years old, were shot playing in their front yards.
Wow.
All right? Just a few days before that, three young men were shot at a house party in Ingleside. One died, one still in the hospital with severe injuries, another going on. So I'm saying to you that though the numbers are cooked in a way to make the city seem safe, there are some who live under the constant threat of violence and harm. Now, going back to the point of the power of the council, the city council does vote on the budget. And because the city council votes on the budget, they can pick the budget, billion-dollar annual budget apart. If we're getting excessive complaints about harassment and abuse by the police department, then we can look at that. And if there's nothing being done from the city manager's perspective, then we have more than one choice. One, we can fire the city manager as a strong majority of voting from that councilmatic body. But two, we can sanction the police department economically through the money that we dispense. We have that same option when you have an excessive amount of complaints coming out of the jailhouse about treatment. If those are not properly addressed, we can sanction the chief of the sheriff by the monies expended by council to his department. And that goes for any department in the city that is heavily dependent on funding, including the schools, including the treasurer, including the clerk, including a court.
You wanted to speak on the police department, which is also a part of that. So why don't you go ahead with speaking of 63 people shot, and it's only March. Go ahead and share your perspective on the police department.
Yeah, and so I hope the previous answer wasn't too elongated, but I wanted to address because what you all are showing me. And I'm thankful for this opportunity because it's a fact and a matter of, and I've known it for a period, is that there's a greater level of education necessary for Norfolk voters because, believe me, though you all are in another city, there are those who are right here in this city that don't know their government structure. Now, going to the police department, the 800-plus police officers, in my opinion, need to all be restrained.
And a part of that screening needs to be a psychological screening, more extensive than what they've already undergone. And we need to examine the department to see how many, if any, were in recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and that. Because we know that post-traumatic stress disorder is very prevalent amongst a lot of those who are returning from these conflicts. And we want to analyze and see how many of them came out of service and went to work for companies like Blackwater and other security companies that have egregious records of treatment against persons. Not to think that just because they were in that service or in those companies that that is them, but we want to see what the psychological makeup of our officers is. Because remember, they have guns and they have power, and they're backed by the city of Norfolk and the Commonwealth of Virginia. And so we want to make sure that when we put them on the streets to patrol and serve us and protect us, that they are not a part of the problem, as we have seen in several cases. And so when working with the police department, I don't want anybody to ever think that they are an unnecessary entity. The police are very necessary. And we want to have the best and the brightest on the police department. We want them to all be able to go home at night safe to their families and return to work safe to protect our city. But we also want them to be accountable for their actions. And so we would like to see the implementation of programs such as police and community sensitivity training, whereas the police would be trained to be sensitive to the conditions and the mentality of the communities, but the communities would also be engaged in training to be sensitive and respectful to the authority of the police. These types of trainings right. that are being done in cities all over America are proving to be very instrumental in breaking down a lot of the walls that exist. One of the major problems that the community has with the police department is that the police department has they investigate crimes, and they want citizens to turn in perpetrators of crimes, but they themselves have what they call the blue wall of silence, where they protect their criminals, yet they want the community to turn over criminals. And that is not right, you see? And so we want to make things fair and balanced and give everybody an opportunity to be treated fair and to have a safe and vibrant community. Lastly, on that point of the police, I want to see the police pay increased. And you may say, wow, with all those problems, we may need to see if they're being paid too much. No, I think that if we increase the pay of the police and increase the benefits of the police, and I know we can find the money to do it, we find money to give to developers, we can find it to increase the quality of our police force. If their pay is increased, then they have a job that they are desirous of having because it's able to help them to secure their families in the best manner. And they're less; it's more threatening to them to lose the job than it is now. But it also allows them to go home and have a better night's rest and less problems at home and come to work vibrant and ready to work. Everyone knows that the average problem that occurs in the household from the perspective of arguments are generally about finances. So if we can help to alleviate that with our officers who are putting their lives on the line to protect the community, I believe we can have the best and the brightest force of any city in the Commonwealth of Virginia and in parts of America.
Minister, we're going to pause for the calls, come right back. I want to be able to get in. How do you address apathy that currently exists, and how do you stimulate action? Because, you know, it's one thing for you to be passionate and have a voice for the people, but at some point the people have to stand up for the people and get out there and vote if this thing's going to work. How do we address the apathy, and how do you stimulate action? Hey, we'll be right back. We're going to take a pause for the calls. Come right back. Minister Michael J. Muhammad is 1021.
You are listening to the best at it, providing you with quality entertainment, inspiration, and information. We are TM Hyman Radio.
It might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
The question is, do we have what it takes to ignite that? And that responsibility falls on our shoulders. We're working diligently to address the issues of concerns to the people of education, of safe and vibrant communities, of quality life experience, and others. And as we address those issues, we are hoping that our message is resonating with the people. The response that we're getting is showing that there is resignation with the people. Unfortunately, as you all sure are very well acquainted with, in the African-American community, there is a mentality of crabs in a barrel. There are those who would attack anything of good and down anything of progress from anyone other than themselves. There's an old joke that says that there were some who saw Jesus one day walk on the water, and they made mock of him and saying, "I told you he couldn't swim." So even if you perform a miracle for the people, some will still make mock. But we're going to do all that we can to spark the interest of the people, and we're doing all that we can to give the people a choice. The rest is absolutely up to them. I will say, as my teacher told me on Friday, as Minister Farrakhan said to me on Friday, he said, "Son, if this is not your lot," meaning at the conclusion of the day on May 6th, "if God and the people do not see fit that I am voted in as mayor of this city," he said, "it is not because that was too good for you, but it is in fact because God has something bigger, better, and more in line with your calling." So I'm not so much concerned about the naysayers and that. I'm more concerned about doing the will of God and giving the people an opportunity and a choice, whereas they have heretofore never had a choice.
Absolutely. I think that was a great way to conclude with the wise words from Minister Louis Farrakhan to you last week. Again, how can constituents follow you? How can they get in contact if they want to volunteer on May 6th, Election Day? Folks, get out and vote.
I tell you, again, MuhammadForMayor@gmail.com is the most convenient method of contact. But we are on Instagram at MJ Muhammad. We are on Twitter at MJ Muhammad 757, and we are on Facebook at Michael J Muhammad for Mayor. And you can find us on any of those social media apparatuses or communication apparatuses. We do have an office line, the main line into our campaign headquarters. It's 757, and you would put me on the spot with this. I'm sorry. I should have been as prepared as you were. With
hey, take your time, man.
and statistics. But the number is 757-962-0227. 757-962-0227.
Now, Minister Muhammad, we're going to get our listeners to follow you, but we want to know, do you follow back? Do you communicate with the constituents and the voters? Because we're not going to follow you if you don't communicate with us.
I have one of the most active networks of anybody that you will find.
Hey.
And so I'm very active and responsive to literally.
We can barely hear you, Minister.
I said I have a very active social media presence, and I personally respond to all of my messages, no matter how long it takes me.
All right.
There it is. There it is. Well, sir, thank you very much again. We will be following you. We will be trying to engage voters in Norfolk for May the 6th, and we appreciate you for taking your time tonight.
Thank you.
Absolutely. We are going to transition into adult talk. We've been up close and personal with Minister Michael J. Muhammad. Folks, Election Day is May 6th. He is running for mayor in the city of Norfolk. Get out and vote. This is Pusha T, Who Am I, featuring 2 Chainz and Big Sean. We'll be right back with adult talk.
Vote, people, vote.
Woo! They said be all you can be. Woo! They said be all you can be. I just wanna buy another Rolly. I just wanna pop another band. I just wanna sell dope forever. I just wanna be who I am. Woo! They said be all you can be, nigga. Woo! They said be all you can be. Always knew I could rule a world. Let's define what my world is. Knee deep in this dope money. Damn near where my world ends. Same block, same rock. I was thinking about murdering. I ain't getting my hands dirty. Let you worry about serving them. Yeah, they said be all you could be, nigga. Woo, they said be all you could be. I just wanna buy another Rolly. I just wanna pop another band. I just wanna sell dope forever. I just wanna be who I am. Yeah, they said be all you can be, nigga. Woo, they said the truth set you free.
Entrepreneur, strip club connoisseur. Sunday, poured on you, hallelujah. Poured on you, hallelujah. Poured on you, hallelujah. And I be on my own, dear. Ain't that much room for you. Red, white, and blue. I pledge allegiance to the street life. And even if it's leftovers, I still gotta eat right. Got gas in my peace pipe. Pink Sprite, she pee popping her jeans tight. All day I dream about that 3 strikes. We the type of crew to get fresh and sit in the living room. Look at one. Got a bad bitch in my swimming pool. Got a bad bitch in my swimming pool. Got a bad bitch in my swimming pool. We the type of crew to get fresh and sit in the living room. Look at one. Got a bad bitch in my swimming pool.
Woo! They said be all you can be.
Pretty girl's my reputation. One on my arm, that's decoration. Get into it, no hesitation. To fuck with me, you need a reservation. To the top, escalating, elevating. Good music, legislation, delegating. And I mean that shit like exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. And I'm going till I KO. Eyes closed, I'm okay. All my bitches know they roll. Even when we role play. My homie got that 9 on him. All night and all day and all night and all day and all night. Like that shit's his motherfucking soulmate. Cause no time for hand in hand when you got this paper hand in hand. Bitch, I'm feeling like a grown ass little boy. Nigga, nan, 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 nan. Bitch, I'm feeling like a grown ass little boy. Cause I still love to get pampered. But don't get it twisted. Watch your step and fucking manners.
Woo! They said the truth set you free. Woo! They said be all you can be. Woo! They said be all you can be. I just wanna buy another Rolly. I just wanna pop another band. I just wanna sell dope forever. I just wanna be who I am. Woo! I just wanna be who I am. Woo! Wanna be who I am. Always knew I could rule the world. Let's define what my world is. Knee deep in this dope money. Damn near where my world ends.
TM Hyman Radio Live, 10:37 p.m. and we are back. We are that crew, that team, that network. I'm your girl, Hot Chocolate. He is the general, T.M. Hyman, and joining us now, without further ado, for with his adult talk segment, Save Jane.
Oh, snap.
Hip music, hip music.
Yo.
Eat the cake, anime, eat the cake.
Oh, snap, yo.
I biggity bangs with that J right there, some Dasha Pack stuff. And it's still playing.
That was right.
It's still going.
You got a segue, okay. Son. You got a segue.
I see. I'm about to take my window. All right, check it. I feel bad that I didn't really have any pimp stuff to talk about tonight, but maybe it may come up in a longer conversation.
It may.
Yeah, I'm going totally off base with that music is suggesting right now. Totally off base, son. Nowhere near the atmosphere you're setting right now for me. Nowhere near it. But now I know.
We got it, though, right? We got it.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Now I know if it's time to take them panties off, ladies, for stuff I'm about to talk about, then, hey, we got the perfect tone-setting music for you right there. Word up. And shout-out to whoever's on the board tonight because that's a hell of a way to follow up a mayoral candidate talking about be all you could be, nigga. I'm going to sell dope till I die, nigga. You know what I'm saying?
Unbelievable.
I love it. Great. Anyway, since we were taking it there, I don't know if you guys have been keeping up on this little how this interview that Drake had with the Rolling Stones it has a lot of holes in it. It's been very, very porous in retaining information that was quote unquote off the books. How he was talking about Jay and Kanye and all of them cats or whatever in his interview. Yeah, y'all been pretty hip to that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Did y'all hear this song that Jay Z and Jay Electronica got out now?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I have not.
You did. All right. I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but I know this thing was just dropped, and kind of got like some down south flow to it or whatever. You know how most music sounds like it's coming from there now anyway. But Jay dropped a couple bars on him. Just dropped two bars on him and kept it going. Talking about, excuse me, Miss Drizzy, you know, talking about, background check, though. Drake was talking about Jay-Z doesn't rhyme anymore without having any references to artwork, you know, the Basquiat's and the Rembrandt's and Picasso's and all that stuff like that. You know what I mean? So he's talking like he can't rhyme without talking about that now. And so then J5 back talking about, you know, sorry about me talking about the art and stuff. I'm rapping, you talking about guns you never bust in so many words. You know what I'm saying? He said it just like that. You talking about guns you never popped before. You know, I'm sorry I'm talking about art, but I'm talking about stuff that I know about. You know what I'm saying? What you really doing over there? I don't have the exact, you know, tail of the tape of what he said, but in so many words, that's basically what he shot back with him at. So, you know, and I mean, I understand Drake feeling himself now. You know, he got a little hot chick on him with Rihanna and all of that. But, you know, you guys got, you know, these young cats, this is what we were talking about before, the generation divide. I just know, you know, respect for the older generation. I've paved the way for them to do what they're doing. You know what I mean? And I just thought it was good at how Jay kind of did that and just kept it moving. He just made it seem like, you know, hey, I hear what you're saying, young man. This is what I got to say to that. But catch up. You know what I'm saying? You're doing good, but still catch up. You know what I mean? So
pretty much.
You know,
pretty much.
Stay in your lane. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm trying to see, like, you know, I'm asking myself, is like the history of rap beef, like, you know, hip hop beef really like dead? Because, like, you know, cats take stuff too seriously nowadays. You know what I mean? And I don't know, that's the element of hip hop that I feel is missing. That battle rap, you know, talking about having whole songs about people without, you know, somebody leaving here forever. You know what I mean? But I was trying to see if you guys were up to date on that. About that whole thing. You heard what he said about Kanye, too, in that same interview? He was talking about that Swag-oo line? Or Swag-Healy line?
No, I didn't hear the Swag-Healy line.
Yeah, he was like, rappers be talking about anything nowadays. You know, like, he brought up Kanye. He was like, you know, talking about, you know, Swag-Healy. He was like, come on, dude, for real? Like, trying to play him on something. Like, I mean, Drake really smelling himself right now, man. I don't know what y'all got to say to that. Where do you think he positions himself in this game to be able to take such a stance and call out names like, you know, Jay and Kanye, being that they preceded him clearly and set the tone for him to be able to thrive in as he is right now?
I think popularity. I think unit sales.
I think his bank account. You know, even though he may not be an equal, he's definitely not the average. And
no,
I
get that.
Mind, you know, that qualifies him to at least be able to speak his mind.
I get that.
I respect the new generation trying to find their niche and, you know, stand their ground, so to speak, against the veterans who are still completely relevant, complete trendsetters still in the game. You know, there's no way to deny the position that Jay has made for himself and still continues to hold. So, you know, you kind of shoot for the top. Drake, to me, has found success in leaps and bounds, but he is nowhere near, in my eyes, a Jay-Z level of rapper, artist, or businessman. So, to me, I mean, I think it's cute, but I think it's cute.
All right. Yeah, I remember him and Common was going back and forth at each other with that. If they scheming in that Canada Drive song, something like that.
Yeah, and to me, that was no contest either. To me, it took away from the level of artist that Common was for him to even respond to. To that type of level. Like,
no, I feel you on that.
I'm all for a good battle rap. Don't get me wrong.
No,
I'm all for a good battle.
Definitely appreciate to see that. I don't think Drake really knew, or maybe he did, just didn't let a sleeping dog lie. Because, you know, Common known for that. You know what I'm saying? He'll get at you.
He'll
explain of who he's talking about.
He
you know what I'm saying? There ain't going to be no subliminal reading the handwriting on the wall type stuff, decoding Da Vinci's code. He's calling you out.
Don't misunderstand the knit hats and the tall socks that he's wearing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
With Erykah Badu
fade. He was common sense before he was common. You dig what I'm saying?
Right.
So it was like, you know, don't get it twisted. So, you know, I enjoyed that little back and forth right there to the utmost or whatever. So, so I guess that's my music to get out of here. And Wednesday, I will have something for you all to enjoy the atmosphere that's set with this here. Go get you a candle and a piece of red velvet cake and some couple of ice cubes and get it popping tonight, folks. But I know with that combination, things can get crazy with that. Yeah.
Candle, red velvet cake, and
a couple of ice cubes, yeah.
Ice cubes.
Oh. Make sure they're cold. Trust me, magic.
10:46 p.m. TM on the radio. We'll be right back.
Now pull off on that one. Jay Butter, Rizzy King, you see?
I've been drinking. I get filthy when that liquor get it to me. I've been thinking. Why can't I keep my fingers off it, baby? I want you, na-na. Why can't I keep my fingers off you, baby? I want you, na-na. Cigars on ice. Feeling like an animal with these cameras all in my grill. Flashing lights. You got me pity, baby. I want you, na-na. Keep your eyes off my fatty daddy, I want you, na-na. Drunk in love, I want you. We woke up in the kitchen saying, how the hell did this happen, oh baby. Drunk in love, we be all night. The thing I remember is our beautiful bodies running off in that glue. Be all night, love, love. We be all night, love,
8 sound I do say on Red Bull when I'm in Jamaica. Array and his nephew, white rum with a wash my heart. Drunk in love with the gal them want. Ride that sugar cane with a
surfboard.
That, that the gal them want. Have the bad man in a trance when you do the gypsy dance. When you bubble to the ground, move your bumper and balance. Girl, you're sweet like a mango, coconut jelly. The nice long legs with the flat pizza belly. Twerk that booty, make it clap. I forgot hard when you fling it back. Drunk in love, you got past tipsy. Straight to the ramping shop. We work all night non-stop. Have that good up balance. Are the real big king. You know it's a fish shot. You see?
We woke up in the kitchen saying, how the hell did this happen? Oh, baby.
Edley Shine.
Drunk in love. We be all night. The thing I remember is our beautiful bodies running up in a club. Drunk in love.
Myself.
Hold up, stumble all in the house, kinda back off all of that mouth. That you had all in the car, talk about you the baddest just fall. Talk about you be rapping that bird. Wanna see all the that I heard. No, I clink, clink, ain't foot. Hope you can handle this curve. Four play in a four game. Fucked up my war hall. Split the panties right to the side, ain't got the time to take draws off on sight. Catch a charge, I might. Beat the boxes like Mike. In 97 I bite, I'm Ike. Turn up, baby, no, I don't play. Now eat the cake, anime, say eat the cake, anime, I'm nice. For y'all to reach these heights, you gon' need G3, 4, 5, 6 flights, sleep tight. We sex again in the morning, your breakfast is my breakfast, we gon' in. We be all night. Night. I've been stepping, that's the only thing that's keeping me on fire. We on fire. You mean to spill that liquor out of my entire life? I've been drinking watermelon.
Okay.
9178.
Right. All right. Didn't know what was popping right there, son.
9178893.
Gotta jump in.
9178893926. Wow. Hey, it's
what's
all
the blood.
TM Hyman Radio Live. Yo, see, when that last music bed dropped, you was like, yo, you fell out. I'm like, yo, all the sound effects, new sounds, and all of that, yo, we trying to make it work, everybody. Thanks for rocking with us. Hey, 85,000 plus when I last looked, which is pretty
Woo!
Interesting. Pretty interesting. We need y'all to call in and talk to us, though. I mean, we like
Word.
The team and all, but, yo, why y'all just listening?
Don't scare me, scared, son.
I know
Word.
Y'all got
call
something
in.
To say.
No,
I know somebody want to cuss
in.
Me out. Call me all kinds of names and stuff, please. I'm waiting for it.
Yo,
I live for it.
We have thousands of downloads weekly, and we appreciate y'all for listening and supporting the show. But, again, we want to hear from y'all. So we're back on Wednesday, same place, same time, 9 p.m., and again on Friday, just an hour, 9 p.m. But hit us up, 917-889-3926. Hey, big up to the Minister Michael J. Muhammad, and good luck. You know, in this particular run. And again, I appreciate what Minister Louis Farrakhan called him and told him last week. You know, if this is not successful for you, you know, it's not that you're a failure at it. You know, God
right.
has something different for your path. And I think that's absolutely good feedback. However, we don't want to use that as a cop-out not to press 100% towards the mark.
That's
and
right.
So again, thank you for stopping past. He had a whole lot to say.
No pun intended.
And
or
and
is
people,
there?
Yeah, and people definitely go out there and exercise your right to vote. Don't just wait until the presidential election. Our local residents,
crazy,
our
man.
Local elections are probably, I'm not going to say more important, but just as important. Okay, guys, enough.
Whatever, son. That was funny.
Thank you for keeping us on track. Yes. Listen, I mean, this is the bottom line. It takes a lot of heart, and it takes a lot of courage to want to single-handedly, you know, not necessarily single-handedly, but go up against a staple in a community that's not on your side, you know.
Yeah.
So again, big up to Michael J. Muhammad. Do you all remember last week when Dee Dee came on and one of her pet peeves, she was asking where were the leaders of this particular generation?
Yep.
And so, you know, Michael Muhammad absolutely is someone who's never been afraid to stand up on behalf of his people. And we need more people like him, unafraid to stand up and take lead. We need more people like them. So that's what this platform is for. It's for people doing positive things, you know. And hey, use us. Use us. So thanks for stopping
for
by.
Sure.
For sure. He's young, too. That's another good thing.
Yeah,
young.
36 years old. Yeah.
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 36?
Man, young. He sounds like he's about 56, though. You know what I'm saying? With the tone of his
He does have an older sounding.
He has an older presence to his sound. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He has an older residence. His sound, and that's all I'm just pointing out.
He sounded like his mentor. He said it. He
yeah,
sounded like his mentor to me.
That good knowledge that Mr. Farrakhan's been dishing to him.
Word, I ain't mad at
absolutely.
It. Absolutely. Saying you don't sound like your typical 36-year-old.
Yeah, by no means.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
I had to keep checking.
What?
I was saying I had to keep... I had to keep checking, checking myself, like, oh, did dude say only 36? But that was neither here nor there. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I mean, no, you got it. You got it.
Back again on Wednesday for Relationship Wednesday, Hump Day Wednesday, as everyone has so much fun calling and dubbing and naming it. We will be right back with you. We are that crew, that team, that network, T.M. Hyman Radio. He is the general, T.M., again, celebrating his birthday all month. We're going to do something else fun this coming weekend. We don't know what, but we'll keep you abreast.
So what?
Don't hate. You got your time with him in D.C. Now it's my fun time. All right?
Whatever, babe.
He's sending me pictures. I'm getting selfies of them. They're having dinner. They're having drinks.
I ain't going to be salty like you was. You was like super hate monster.
Oh, no. Wait till you see our go out pictures. All you got was a quick dinner video at Red Lobster. You're getting ready to get some other.
Yo, scram. Not flipped by passion. I ain't watching that. Get out of
here.
Yeah,
see, hater. That's horrible.
I'm a hater on something I don't even know what's popping.
That's all right. We're all gonna get the chance to hang out together soon, Sabe. So this back and forth that we have will have to end then, because then we will all be together.
Whatever. I'm still getting at your ass. I don't even think I'm taking these because whatever. Just because my first time meeting you, whatever, son.
Horrible.
That has
That's
nothing
horrible.
To do with it.
You gonna hug me, then you gonna punch me?
Everybody.
And I'm going hard body
terrible,
at you.
Terrible.
Good night, everybody.
No
back limit. On Wednesday.
Terrible.
You see, all you need is consistent love. When I die, I swear it's never enough. I'm a star. Maybe this thing here just ain't meant for us.
the low, I used to holler at his homie. Ooh, now I'm about to ride him like a pony. Yeah, okay. Thug Polly, yo, come Polly. He wanna fat dolly and pop Molly. I hope your pockets got a motherfucker on pot Molly. Or is it that you never bow? John Sally, he had the rose in the voice, the tone in his voice. Don't want a good girl, nah. Who's his choice? Get the on H, put on W, mouth on open, on small bio, on a cover top, L magazine. Vroom, 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 get gasoline. To the
TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show. Real talk. Real talk. Talk radio show. TM Hyman Live, TM Hyman Live, TM Hyman Live, Talk Radio Show. TM Hyman Live, TM Hyman Live, TM Hyman Live, Talk Radio Show. Real talk.